Please be seated. We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth, that it is living and active, the only infallible way of life and faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. This morning's scripture comes out of the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, the very first chapter of Jeremiah. It's actually his call, if you would, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read it to you out of the New International Version, but many of the references that, as you know, that I make come out of the English Standard Version, but they're very much the same. Hear God's word. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we thank you for your truth, Lord, your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is trustworthy. It's true. It's where we can place our anchor. We can always rely upon it. So much in our world moves and changes, but not your word. Oh God, thank you for that. And as we gather around your word this morning, it's our prayer that your Holy Spirit would move and minister to us and among us. And Lord, you would touch our hearts and you would open our minds to understand your message for each and every one of us. Show us who we are, Lord, who you want us to be, and how we're going to be that. We love you, Lord. Minister your grace to us as we wait before you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I like to tell the story of two children. Parents of the first child were, somewhat mismatched. The father was unemployed most of the time with no formal education. His mother was a teacher. The child was born in Michigan, estimated to have an IQ of 81. Not exactly the brightest bulb in town. He was withdrawn from school after 3 months and was considered backward by the school officials. They didn't want him back. The child was enrolled actually 2 years late because he had scarlet fever and respiratory infections. And did I mention he's also going deaf? Needless to say, his emotional health was not very good either. He was stubborn. He was aloof. He was slow. He did like mechanics. He loved to tinker. He also liked to play with fire. Even burned his grandfather's barn down. Showed some manual dexterity. Very poor grammar. Wanted to be a scientist, maybe. Or a railroad engineer. That's that first child. Second child didn't show much more promise either. The child was born to an alcoholic father. She was sickly, bedridden, often hospitalized, many, many times really. Considered erratic, withdrawn, would bite her nails, had all kinds of phobias. She wore a back brace from a spinal defect and would constantly seek attention. She was a daydreamer, no vocational goals, although she had expressed a desire to help the elderly and the poor. Who were these two children? These two that we would probably consider to be misfits, or certainly uninspiring. Well, the boy from Michigan became one of the world's greatest inventors, Thomas Edison. We have lights, thanks to him. The sickly, awkward young girl became a president's wife and a champion of the poor and the oppressed. Most of us would know her. Her name was Eleanor Roosevelt. Would either of these two have been voted most likely to succeed? Probably not. Probably not. So how do we tap in to the infinite reservoir of the unseen? How do we bring to the surface the powers and possibilities that God has placed in every one of us? Every one of us. In this text this morning, God came to Jeremiah and he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah responded just like you and I would probably respond. Whoa, 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 whoa. We need to talk about this, right? At least that's what I hear most often when we're asking somebody to volunteer for this or volunteer for that. We need to talk. Tell me a little bit more. What am I getting myself into? That's what Jeremiah was thinking. That's exactly what he was thinking. He says, "But Lord, I don't know how to speak." Well, he obviously knew how to speak. He was talking. But he didn't know how to speak God talk, right? He didn't know how to speak or do what God wanted him to do. And then Jeremiah spoke these three deadly words, and we speak them all the time. He said, "I am only." I am only. In this case, he said, "I'm only a child, a youth, a youth." Jeremiah would later become one of the greatest prophets of all time. But he followed his own instincts, his own fears. We would have never heard of him. We would have never had his writings. And Israel would have never benefited from his prophecies. And don't get me wrong, Jeremiah wasn't particularly a loved person. The life of a prophet in the Old Testament was not a life that you and I would want. You know, it's Jeremiah who in many, many episodes, and read the book, many episodes in his life which were terrible. Terrible. He wasn't appreciated. Speaking God's truth, speaking God's prophetic truth, watching it happen around him, and many people hated him for it. But nevertheless, he was God's person for God's time. And God had to deal with those three little deadly words, "I am only. I am only." The same is true so much for you and me. For us to fulfill and fully become what God wants us to be, what God wants us to do, to find real blessing in our life. I mean, not just being okay, not just being content, not just being even happy, but find a really true inner blessing. We need to get rid of those three little words in our life. And we need to allow God to redirect our path into His plan, not so much our plan. I want you to look at this passage, these few little words, and kind of see how God redirected, if you would, Jeremiah. How he helped him to refocus on what was really important. And the first thing that God told Jeremiah and tried to drill into his head was that he just didn't pop up on this earth. He just didn't appear. He was created. Created. Created by who? Created by God. I formed you, God told Jeremiah. I formed you. God would say the same thing for you and me. I formed you. I made you. Now, was it just one day he didn't have anything else to do and he was, you know, playing around with a little bit of dust and clay? Well, here's one. Okay, it looks okay. We'll set that on the shelf and that'll become one of us someday. No. No, no, no. God deliberately formed Jeremiah. And God deliberately forms you and me. He's the source of everything, everything. He is the reason that we're here. He's the reason we're here this morning, not just here on this planet. God is sovereign over all the little details of life, the good and the bad. He knows them all. He knows them all. You know, so much popular jargon these days tries to convince us that we choose our path, that we choose maybe even our children, you know. Well, I'm going to choose whether I'm going to have a child or not have a child. I'm going to choose whether I want to keep this child or not keep this child. That's a big thing in our world today. We choose when life comes into this world, even the kind of life that comes into this world. We've talked about designer babies for a long time, and in some countries it's a reality. The truth is that only God creates. Only God gives life. We don't. We don't. We can have test tubes and we can have all these kind of things, but the genesis of life that we would put in a test tube for a test tube baby, quote unquote, comes from God. Comes from God. We can't create it from nothing. We never have. We never will. Only God. As parents, all we do is nurture and encourage and protect and provide and pray and pray and pray. But that person who is your child, that unique personality, and I know sometimes we sort of smile, very unique sometimes, very unique, maybe too unique. But that person who will ultimately make their own decisions and plot their own course is a creation of God. It is not our creation. We didn't bring them into the world. God formed them and brought them into His world. In the world order as God has established it, He creates, we care. He creates, we care. So God told Jeremiah right off the bat, hey, I made you, bud. I formed you. I created you. So then God tells Jeremiah that from that same beginning, He knew him. He knew him. And He set him apart. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you or set you apart in the NIV. Not only God created Jeremiah and each of us, but He created him for a specific purpose. Set apart, a specific purpose. In other words, He had a God-ordained destiny. Every one of us have a God-ordained destiny. He set us apart. He has consecrated us. Big word. Finding your niche in this world isn't easy. We know that. We struggle with that lots of times. I've heard people say, well, I just can't find my niche in church, or I can't find my where can I serve? How can I be a part? And that's a challenge. It isn't always easy. But it's there. If the question is not, is there a niche so much The first question is, has God brought you? Does God want you to be a part of this body of Christ? If He does, there is a niche. It may be hard to find, you know, but there is a niche. There is a place to serve. The first question is this where God wants you? Is this part of His destiny for you? For you. You know, finding that niche can take a lot of work. Sometimes we think it would be much easier if God would simply send us a text or, you know, give us a phone call or whatever. Write us a letter. Well, He did write a letter. Pretty big one. God came to Jeremiah and He told him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you." Then He goes on, "I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." That was His text. That was His letter. "Jeremiah, I created you as a prophet." And Jeremiah did what we so often do. He made excuses. "Ah, sovereign Lord." You know, I read those words and I hear that Jeremiah said them, but I'm not sure he believed them. If you want to call God sovereign Lord, you're going to be on your knees doing whatever God wants you to do. You're not going to sit there and say, "I do not know how to speak," or "I'm only a youth." You're not going to make excuses. You're not. And what do we say often? Do we say, "Well, I'm too old"? I hear that a lot. I'm in that group, you know. "We're too old. I'm too old. I can't do this. I can't do that." Well, yes, you won't do what you maybe did 20 years ago or more. But you can do a lot of things. And you can absolutely do what God has called you to do now. Now. "Well, I'm not trained. You know, I don't have the eloquence to do that. I don't have money, or I don't have time. Or I've already served my term." I hear that a lot too, don't we? Or even like Jeremiah, we can come up and say, "Well, I'm just too young. Somebody else takes care of me. I'm young." No. No. Look at what God says next to Jeremiah. God said, "Do not say that I am only a youth." In other words, don't give me your excuses. "For to all whom I send you, you shall go." Now, this is the ESV, says, "shall go. And whomever I command you, you shall speak." Now, in the NIV, it says, "you must go and you must speak." In other words, there's emphasis on that. It's not, the "shall" doesn't mean, "Well, get around to it." It means do it. Do it. You must go. And the passage tells us that God understands us all together. He knows us, right? It means that before we were even born, He had some intimate involvement in our life. He wired us the way we were going to be or supposed to be. He gave us all the necessary equipment or set us on a path to develop all the necessary experience and equipment and whatever we needed to do what He is calling us to do at the time He wants us to do it. And I'm sure that what He called you maybe to do at age 20 might be a little bit different than at age 50, or maybe even just a slight bit different at age 85. But no matter what age, no matter at what health condition or any of those other kind of things, He has called you. He has created you. He has formed you. He has called you for His purpose. God creates us for a purpose. He creates us for a purpose. And He has a detailed plan when He creates us. All those talents, all those physical attributes. Just think about your life. Think about the things that you have walked through in life that have maybe nothing to do with with what you thought you would be, but they created images and gave you abilities to do things for Him, for His body, for His glory, as you grew along. Think about it. Think about it. All those different ways that God has shaped you and fashioned you. You know, it's a beautiful picture. It really is. It really is. God enables us and God empowers us. He trains us, if you would say it that way, to fulfill His purpose. And God declared to Jeremiah, and we're not out there by ourselves. He wasn't out there by Himself. He said, I will be with you. My purpose is your purpose. I'm going to make it happen. God is going to make it happen. Do not be afraid of them, for I will be with you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I'm sure in some of Jeremiah's life, he wondered about that. He put it to the test, for sure. Excuse me. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord put His hand on and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put My words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build and to plant. God had a purpose. God had a purpose. And He gave Jeremiah everything he needed to fulfill that purpose. And He does the very same thing for you and for me. God has great plans for us. God has big plans for His church. He has big plans for this church. Sometimes you look around at the world we live in today and you read all the statistics about churches and you hear, well, churches are all dying, they're all shrinking up, you know, this and that. And some churches aren't. Some churches are thriving. We say, well, okay, to thrive, you got to do this, this, this. Now, that isn't the answer at all. To thrive, you have to be right where God wants you to be. That's the answer. What does God want? What is His purpose? You want to thrive in life? You better be in the center of His will. If you want to thrive as a body of believers, we need to be in the center of His will. That's what makes things thrive. That's what lights the fire. And God has great plans. It's we who are saying, I am only. I am only. You know, there's a little story I read one time about an art class, and they were working with a ball of clay, and I could just sort of see this maybe even in our preschool. And one little girl took a little ball of clay, and she formed it and put little wings on it and this and that, and then she held it up, and she said, look, an angel. And all the kids said, yeah, an angel. They could see the little wings and all that kind of stuff. So then she takes that ball of clay, that angel, and she squishes it right back up into a ball again. And she holds it up and says, what do you see now? A ball. A ball. All they could see was a ball. And she said, no. It's a hiding angel. It's a hiding angel. You know, we have within ourselves hiding angels. Just waiting to be released. Just waiting to let go and let God. Like Jeremiah, who didn't want to go, who couldn't see the future, but God led him to go. And look at all that he did in God's kingdom. Don't say, I am only a child, or anything else. Say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, God knew me. And God, the creator of all, touched my life and set it on a path for His purposes. His purposes. Beautiful, noble, good purposes. To believe that about yourself is to become one with God. Is to become one with your life. It will unleash a host of of powers. It will unleash a host of possibilities. And like an Edison or like a Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt, it will allow you to become whom you were created to be. Our lives individually and corporately have been created by God for His great purposes. And each of us here, if you hear nothing less, has a purpose, a God-ordained purpose, a destiny from God to fulfill. And life isn't over until it's over. I've felt that way sometimes, you know, when people, even on their deathbed, and the end is just around the corner, end of this world, but there's still a purpose there. There's still a purpose there. And words they may say, loved ones they may touch, a prayer they may make can change someone's total life. Life isn't over until it's over. The race isn't done until we cross the finish line. There is a purpose. God has a purpose. And that purpose is now. It's now. Still for us to fulfill. No matter where we are, still for us to fulfill. And we must go. We must go. True happiness, true success, true blessing is doing what God has shaped us to do. Let God touch our lips. Take away the words that might hold us back, as He did Jeremiah. And don't say, "I am lonely." But rather say, as Isaiah did, "Here I am, Lord. Send me, a chosen child of God." Let's pray together.